Hey, everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino, and we are getting ready for this week's exit interview. We're going to talk to the most recently voted out player from Survivor Island of the Idols, and that is going to be Tom Laidlaw, who got voted out after the swap, where he was the person that the original Vokai tribe decided to get rid of. We're going to talk to him about exactly how that happened here on this week's exit interview. Of course, last night got to talk to Stephen Fishback on Survivor Know-It-Alls, if you missed any of that. And then later on today, we've got a great podcast coming up where Coach is going to join me to talk about everything that he's seeing so far in this season. He can weigh in on how Rob and Sandra are doing as coaches and much more. That's going to be later on Thursday. And then we'll have our feedback show coming up with Kellen Bechtold. You can get your questions in, of course, so many ways. Survivor@robinswebsite.com, 323-282-RHAP, robinswebsite.com/voicemail, all ways to get your feedback questions into the show. And then we'll have our week five wand off coming up on Monday in the Wiggle Room. Lots of mentions of Wiggles on Survivor this week, so I'm sure that we'll have a lot to talk about there with Josh. Before we get into talking to Tom, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Legacy Box. And Legacy Box is an incredible service that is going to be able to digitize all of the home movies that you have lying around. That if you are somebody of a certain age, like myself, that you are somebody that and your family has cassettes and all this different media that you can no longer attach to. If you don't have an HDMI input on any of these devices, it's very, very complicated to be able to go back, and you should hope that you have a VCR or some other device that works. Legacy Box says, forget about all that. They're going to digitize your home movies and they're going to take care of them like they are their own, because Legacy Box is going to send you out the secure package that you're going to load in all of your media, and then you are going to get up to 12 personalized emails of how the process is going, and they're going to digitize everything that you send them, and they're going to turn it into a digital download, a thumb drive, or a DVD, which you can watch anytime. Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos. They do all of the work right here in the USA. Over 450,000 families have trusted Legacy Box, and you can too. I use Legacy Box for a Christmas gift for my mom this past year. We got a bunch of our old home movies. We sent them off. They came back, and now my mom's able to watch all those movies anytime she wants. It doesn't have to call me or my brother to come hook up the VCR to be able to get that to work. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your moments. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. They're offering our listeners an exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/Rob to get 40% off your first order. That's LegacyBox.com/Rob and save 40% today. Get started preserving your past. Okay, looks like we have Tom Laidlaw here on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Tom, are you there?
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Good, Tom. How are you doing?
Excellent, excellent.
Okay, Tom, nice to talk to you this morning. Sorry about what happened at the Tribal Council last night. Can you tell us, going into that Tribal Council, did you feel comfortable? Did you feel like that you were going to make it through that one?
No, I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't think I was necessarily the target, but I also didn't feel like I wasn't the target. I felt like it's going to be one of the three of us. I think we tried to talk to a few of the members of the old Vokai tribe, and you know, as much as, you know, there was maybe Nora was on the outs a little bit, or Nora and Jamal were after each other, I really felt like the five of them were really, as far as this vote was concerned, were really pretty tight. There wasn't much room for wiggle room. And of course, you know, my choice would have been Charisma, but they chose otherwise.
Did you feel like that you were hearing from a bunch of them that it was definitely going to be Charisma at the vote?
You know what, looking back at it, I think maybe it was more me that was pushing that it should be Charisma, and then more, you know, just saying, oh yeah, Tom, I agree with you kind of thing. Now looking back at it, I think particularly hearing Janice's comments where she said, like, you know, she's actually impressed that I was loyal, but that was also the reason that she was worried about me. And I think, and not that, like, she controlled Jamal and Jack, but I think she, the three of them were very close, and if she was feeling that way, I'm sure she expressed that to them. I just felt like really it could be, you know, they were thinking like it could be one of any one of the three of us, and just come up with a reason why it should be one or the other. And they, had some strong reasons why I should be gone.
Tom, did you feel like that Janet had you sized up right where that, yeah, you would have maybe gone with them for a vote or two, but if you had your choice that you would have gone back to your original Lero people when you got to the merge?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Janet and I got along really well, and I think we both respected each other, and I think I felt like she was the same way. She was a, from what I saw, anyway, was very loyal, and we were in the same age category and a whole bit. So I think she felt like, yes, as a great quality about me, I was loyal, but also it was a bad thing as it pertained to her game, too. So I think she had me pegged pretty well, but she also knows, too, that just because I was going to be loyal to them, like, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, the rest of the people that were on my alliance now all of a sudden were going to agree with me, too. So I just felt like, you know, like I said, I really went out there wanting to play a certain way, you know, and I've watched all the seasons and everything and saw so many different personalities win and do well. And I just felt like for me and my personality playing that game, you know, the strong alliance and the loyalty and, you know, I think it played out there early with Elaine where Rodney and Aaron were after her. And I said, listen, I'm not letting that happen. We said they're going to stick together. We're going to stick together. We're going to fight this out. So and I really wanted to show her that, yes, okay, I am going to be loyal to you. I thought for me, it was, you know, first of all, I wanted to be loyal to her. I thought we had a good alliance, but also she had, was a strong alliance or had a strong alliance with the girls as well. So that would benefit me there too. So
of the three people that it could have been last night, you and Dean and Karishma, why do you think that they ultimately went with you of those three?
Well, again, I think it was, again, this is me speculating from watching it last night. I think it was more Janet, and rightfully so, saying that, you know, listen, I was, my game was the loyalty game and, you know, building that alliance. And she felt that although that she loved that quality in me, it was going to be that I was going to be loyal to those, you know, the other four people that had gone over to the Volkai tribe. So, and again, like I said, I don't want to paint the picture that she controlled Jamal and Jack, but I felt like the three of them were very close and that, you know, they would listen to her. Like, it was really like, okay, which one do we pick? You know, give me a reason why we pick one or the other. And she came up with the reason of that loyalty issue. That's, I think, what swayed them.
Tom, can you talk a little bit about your relationship with Karishma that we heard at a lot of the tribal councils that you went to that she would have been your number one target to get rid of? Yep. You seemed that she was really holding you guys back in the challenges. How much of that would spill over into camp life? Would you guys get along outside of these tribal councils?
Well, clearly we didn't. It was like we were best buddies. Like, I really got along well with Aaron and Elaine and Dean and Chelsea and Elizabeth and it was pretty much everybody else. But Karishma didn't really, she was out kind of on the outs with our group, you know, and nobody really, I don't think anybody really tried to have her on the outs. That's just the way it evolved. Like, she really didn't participate in a lot of stuff that we were doing. So she was kind of on the outside. You know, I went into the game, you know, I think I was asked, you know, what are your goals? Well, I want to win every challenge. Like, first of all, I like to win. But second of all, I thought, obviously, if you win, you're not getting voted out or getting the risk of getting voted out. Obviously, that did not happen. And I felt like she was, I can't blame her for all of it, but she was a part of, it seemed like the biggest part, you know, on a consistent basis of why we didn't win. So I wanted her. But there's also, you know, we went hard after her when Vince, you know, kept the idol in his pocket and was voted off. You know, we intensely went hard after her to try to bluff him, thinking that, you know, he would say, okay, they're not after me, they're after Karishma. I think he felt like they were going to vote me off too. I didn't understand that part until I watched the show. So some of it was by design, but, you know, like I said, for Vince's, you know, get him voted off. But the other part was just legitimate. You know, she would, you know, she would tell us that she was great at, you know, puzzles, and she couldn't do puzzles. And then she was, then she tells how strong she was in the physical part, and she couldn't even get through the sand there, that the wiggle contest. So, you know, I guess I come from that background where, like, again, I didn't do crossword puzzles either. So, like, it, you know, I'm as much to blame, but I come from the background where, you know, you're on a team and you say, okay, I'm good at this. I'm going to get this part done. But then you don't do it. Well, you're letting your team down. You don't win. So that was the part to me is like, you know, I wanted to win the challenges so we wouldn't risk getting voted off, but that pretty quickly that faded away.
You don't think that there was anybody that was on your tribe that wanted to throw that challenge to go to the tribal council since that Vokai had the advantage in the numbers, right?
Oh, I was concerned about that. The one where after the tribe swap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Actually, Dean and I got up that morning, that we knew we were going to have a challenge, and we both said to each other, "Why would these guys want to win this challenge? You know, they're if they are loyal to the other four people that are still left on Volkai, why not just throw the challenge? They've got the numbers. They're not any risk of getting voted off. It just pick us off one at a time. That's why when we had that challenge where Dean was throwing the baskets, Jamal wanted to be in my place. He wanted to throw the baskets with Dean. I knew Dean was a college basketball player, so I said, no, I'll do it. And I let Dean throw all the baskets, thinking, I want him shooting the ball. I want our fate in his hands. It didn't work out for us, but I ultimately don't think that they would have thrown it, looking at it now, but at the time, we were certainly concerned about it.
Okay, so we saw Dean in the episode put on his Detective Kowalski hat, and he was out there trying to figure out what happened on the Chelsea vote. Can you just give us your version of how that all came together at that really crazy tribal council last week?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because, I was it was Elaine and I that put together the blind side to get Ronnie out. I played a big role in getting Vince out. But in this one with Chelsea, it was literally, I think we talked about a tribal council. It was bouncing around all over the place. Was it Dean? Was it Chelsea? Was it Karishma? I think the girls felt that, and I think they used that a little bit, that they thought there was a showman's going on between Dean and Chelsea. I think that they were friendly. But again, I think they really took that as an opportunity. This is why we need to pinpoint one of those two. And it was Dean for a long time. And it was just like all of a sudden, right before we left for tribal council, it became Chelsea. And so I was really more like, okay, that's it. I mean, obviously, I still wanted Karishma gone. The vote, it seemed the group was now more the consensus to let's get Chelsea out. That's really how it evolved. Like, I really think it was more they took the potential showmance and came up with a reason why they would get her off. And I think they felt like, let's go with Chelsea. We still have Dean. Dean still is a stronger player, although he wasn't perfect out there. He would help more challenges.
It seemed like that there was a little bit of a debate of how much Karishma knew and when did she know it at the tribal council. What was your recollection of that?
Oh, about getting Chelsea voted out?
Yes.
Yeah, she knew about it. Told her. She was in on it, yeah. Yeah, Chris's game was different than mine, where she was constantly like, she would say, I'll do anything you have to do as long as it's not me. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to play that game. I wanted to be in control of my game. I just felt like I wasn't going to be somebody that could just drag me along. I wanted to, that's like when Aaron and Ronnie were kind of taking over early and wanted to vote out Elaine. I said, no, I'm not letting that happen. I'm not going to play this game where I just ride along on their coattails. I wanted to take charge right away. And, so that, but her game was much more, that game of, I didn't have anything to do with it. Well, maybe she didn't spearhead it all, but when they came to her, she certainly didn't fight it. She said, okay, I'll do whatever you guys want to do.
Tom, were you surprised last week when Aaron was talking about, hey, let's vote Dean out? It seemed like that the guys were pretty tight on the original Lero.
Yeah, I was. You know what? Aaron and I got along. After we voted Ronnie out and Aaron was blindsided, he wasn't too happy. And I went to him. I said, listen, I did that. I mean, so you need to know that right now. But if we want to keep moving on, let's move on. And him and I got along great after that. And I thought we bonded pretty good. And I thought Dean was part of that as well. But, after watching the show, and I don't blame him at all, Aaron was playing hard, right? I mean, he was strategizing right away. That's the one thing I thought with all 20 of us, really. I think everybody, right from the start, there wasn't any feeling in period. I think everybody went after it right away and started playing, and he certainly was part of that.
Did you tell anybody on either tribe that you had played in the NHL?
Yep. Yeah, I thought about that long and hard. I watched when Jeff Kent was on.
Yeah.
He didn't tell anybody. I saw when John Rocker tried to pretend that he wasn't John Rocker.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought to myself, listen, first of all, I'm 61. A lot of these people wouldn't even have watched me play or knew of me. Hockey maybe wasn't a big deal to them. Certainly the time difference. So, yeah, I made a decision because I thought to myself, I'm that older guy out there now. I don't want to be voted off because, he's the old guy, let's get him off. My conditioning is probably better than it's ever been in my life. I thought that would be an advantage to me. I thought the fact that I was a captain or assistant captain of the teams I played on, that leadership role would help me. They kind of looked at me, and they did. They called me pops and dad out there. So I felt, I made the decision to tell everybody right away. Everybody was introducing themselves and telling each other what they did. I told them right away what I did.
And did anybody have an interesting reaction to finding out about that?
Oh, we had our tribe, our Lyro tribe was funny. There was a lot of stuff that happened. Elaine and I really got along well. My whole life being in the locker room, we're always giving it to each other, joking around. And she was like that. So there's a lot of fun comments. Actually, Jamal was pretty funny the short time I was with him because he's pretty quiet and harder to get to know. We were sitting around camp one day and just randomly, we weren't even talking about hockey or anything else. It was kind of quiet around camp. He turns to me and the cameras are there too. And he goes, Tom, when you played, did you wear a leather helmet? And his delivery was excellent. You know, it was hilarious. I was dying laughing. He was doing pretty good. So there's a lot of little comments like that. You know, particularly, you know, how long ago I played, you know, with the black and white television, that kind of stuff. So yeah. We had a lot of fun. We had fun. It was good.
So, Tom, you mentioned last night in your parting words about how not only were you the first Canadian to play, first Canadian being voted off out of the game. What's been the reaction for you from, we have a lot of great Canadian fans of Survivor and the yep. podcast. What's been the reaction for you as the first Canadian?
Well, you know, the whole Canadian thing that really played a lot in my, you know, formulating kind of my strategy and how I wanted to be perceived and how I wanted to play. You know, like in Canada, when you grow up, particularly playing hockey in Canada, you're really taught to respect your opponents, respect the coaches, respect the referees, your parents, all that. But, you know, as much as you're respectful and polite and everything, when it comes time to win, you know, you're taught, you know, if you have to break your opponent's arm to win, you do it. You do whatever you have to do to win. And I felt like I wanted to play that way. I wanted to play like that loyal game, build an alliance. But when it came time to win, if it was between me and somebody else, I had to do whatever I had to do to win. And I felt like I really did that. Didn't go as far as I wanted to. But I think that was the Canadian influence.
Could you talk a little bit about your relationship with Elizabeth, which we haven't seen much on the show, but she seemed when she was approached with the idea to vote you out a couple of weeks ago, that she felt like, oh, no, we can't vote out Dad. It seemed like that you guys had a bond.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that was, I think there was amongst a few people, I think, and that's what I wanted too, that I was like that more the fatherly figure out there, you know, and that they you keep me around. I felt like I wanted to, if I was contributing to camp, I was good socially, I contributed in the challenges, that they wouldn't want to, you know, be less likely to get rid of me. So it was nice to hear her say that. And we got along, I think. Partly the athlete part of it too, where she was that Olympic swimmer and I was the NHL player, and she had a great sense of humor too. Like our whole, I tell you, the whole Lyro tribe was funny. Like we had a great group of people. She had a good sense of humor. Like I would say to her, I go, "That's great. You know, I go beat my head in for 1,000 games in the National Hockey League, and you get all the attention because you're swimming in the water, like doing the dog paddle, like, kind of making fun of her." And she would give it right back too. You know, she didn't take it. So it was, we'd love fun together.
And well, Tom, thank you for coming on and talking with us a little bit about your experience. Is there anything that you want to tell the listeners to check out or to follow, anything that you're doing?
Well, the big thing for me now is my True Grit Life. So you can go to truegritlife.com. I do a lot of motivational speaking, and we have books and podcasts and all that kind of stuff. And it's really, a lot of it pertains to Survivor, where it's like, you know, part of the reason I wanted to be on Survivor was I wanted to go show people that are getting older that, you know, they should never not do something because they're getting older, or never not do something because you're too short, or never not do something because you're not in shape. You know, go out and do it. And I played Survivor because I wanted to play it. I loved it, but that was hopefully part of the message I sent.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you again, and all the best, okay?
Thank you very much, Rob. Good talking to you.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Tom Laidlaw joining us on the podcast, talking about everything that's going on through 5 episodes of Survivor Island of the Idol. So for me, I'm going to jump into talking to Coach here in the next couple of minutes. Of course, don't forget to get your feedback questions in for Kellen later on this weekend. Rob has a website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. I'm going to record with Kellen on Saturday, so you got all day Friday to be able to jump in and get your voicemail questions in. I also want to try out something new here at the end of these exit interview podcasts, because it's a little bit of a shorter show. It's been a long time since I read any reviews from the Rob Has a Podcast page on Apple Podcasts, which you can get to at robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. And what I wanted to offer to the listeners is if you leave us a star rating and a comment over our Apple Podcast page, I will do it in the impression that you ask for if you leave a review of just say what the impression is, and then leave your review, and I will read those on the show. So we'll give that a try starting next week. So head on over to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes or search for Rob Has a Podcast in the Apple Podcast store. And of course, that should be something a little fun that we'll have here at the end of the shows on the exit interviews each week. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre and his students for putting this podcast together. And we'll be back with Coach later on Thursday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.